Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I want to start today's broadcast with a Facebook question. It's a question that's become increasingly prevalent. It comes in over and over again because of the legalization on a national scale of marijuana in Canada. That's not the case as yet in the United States. In the United States, marijuana remains illegal under federal law, but the legalization of medical marijuana in 29 states has now morphed into legalization of recreational marijuana in 9 states, in Alaska, in Washington, in Oregon, in California, Nevada, Colorado, Massachusetts, Vermont, and Maine. And also in Washington, D.C. No surprise there. But again, I've been getting questions on marijuana as a result of the legalization by an entire country, the country of Canada. They're second in this process. Uruguay, of course, was first. And so Rand wanted to know whether marijuana is a sin to use. And Paul asks me and the staff, hello Hank and staff, I love your show and listen to it whenever I can. I'm a truck driver, and so I usually have lots of time to listen to your wonderful show. My question for Hank is it ethical to invest in marijuana stocks? It's going to be legal in Canada, and this legal marijuana market is expected to expand about 10 times this next decade. And so I'm wondering whether it'd be sinful to invest in marijuana stocks. And that, of course, is a very interesting question as well. So two different questions there, both having to do with marijuana use. And let me point out in general that you think about this whole idea of legalization. My mind immediately goes to morphine. It's used by the medical community for pain. But its medical use should not be a pretext to legalize morphine, or for that matter, heroin, for recreational use. A lot of other people will say, well, it's kind of like having a beer. But think about this. Having a beer is not necessarily an impulse towards intoxication, but smoking a joint is very definitely in order to feel the effects of intoxication. And I'd say one other thing. You know, I happen to be supporting Planned Parenthood. I probably should say something immediately after I said that. I said that only because I'm paying taxes. But I most certainly would not do so voluntarily. And I think the same thing is true with respect to marijuana stocks. I would not knowingly invest in them. Obviously, some marijuana stocks have done very, very well, but the fundamentals for others has not been so good. For example, Insys Therapeutics, which has a market cap, I think, of around $650 million, lost two-thirds of its value a few years ago. So it's not a safe bet, and I think we'd be best off as Christians not to invest in marijuana stocks. And if you did, you still have to check out the fundamentals of those companies, because some are not going to do very well, and others are going to do very, very well. So I think better to invest in companies that you can feel proud of investing in. In terms of marijuana in general, I think because of the inherent dangers of marijuana, we as Christians ought to reject the reefer culture. And I've talked about some of those dangers over the years, dangers like psychological problems that include memory impairment or hallucinations, sleep deprivation. Physical maladies range from respiratory illness and cardiovascular disease to detectable alterations, actually, in the chemistry of your brain. So there are psychophysical problems inherent in the reefer culture. But there are also occult dangers that I have noted from time to time. For example, in China, the shamans employ cannabis to connect with ancestors in the spirit world. Or I think about the Sufi Muslims who use cannabis as a contrivance for various spiritual explorations, or Rastafarians who use the weed to indulge in various religious rituals. And even the Buddha is said to have partaken on his pathway towards enlightenment. And so while achieving higher states of consciousness and discovering secret truths or becoming one with the cosmic consciousness of the universe might sound glamorous at first, the skeletal remains of such perilous spiritual diversions continue to multiply around the world. One last point, and that is when people are smoking or eating pot, there's simply no objective way for them to control dosages of tetrahydrocannabinol, which is the psychoactive chemical in marijuana. By and large, people simply partake until they achieve a high. And a dosage of as little as 7 milligrams of THC can be an unwelcome gateway to spiritual and psychophysical maladies. And of course, we're called to be stewards of both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. And to fail to do that is a grave sin against the very one who created us in the Imago Dei, or created us as icons of God. So you might be able to remember those points. I have them outlined in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. But I actually took those points, and the reason I can remember them myself is because I forged them around the acronym POT. So are we going to POT? Well, most likely we are. Canada most certainly is going to POT. It is now federal law. You can smoke marijuana anywhere you want. You can buy it. There's no illegality in doing it in Canada anymore, as well as in Uruguay, as I mentioned earlier. But at least the acronym stands for the psychophysical problems that I outlined, the occult dangers or the spiritual dangers. So the P is the psychophysical problems, the O is the occult or spiritual dangers, and the T is the THC liabilities. So again, the active ingredient tetrahydrocannabinol is dangerous, and it is also hard to control. And of course, people that are smoking, quite frankly, let's face it, are doing it because they want to get high. Quote of the day, and then when I come back from the break, we're going to go right to your calls. A lot of you hanging on. The quote of the day comes from Ed Stetzer, who holds the Billy Graham Distinguished Chair for Church Missions and Evangelism at Wheaton College, who said this, and I think this is an important quote, listen carefully, nominal Christians are like, they're like marathon runners. Marathon runners who signed up for a race, got their official number, bought the fancy running gear, but then never went out and did the actual training ahead of time. They can't run the race because they have not prepared. They haven't developed the habits of faith, habits like prayer, Bible study, worship, habits that would transform them into true disciples. They were not part of a community that can sustain and inform their worldview. They have the t-shirt, but not the ability to compete and complete the race. And so, well, so they run in vain. Again, words of wisdom from Ed Stetzer. We'll put them up on the web at equip.org. When we come back from the break, I will be going directly to your calls. The number to dial, 888 to ask Hank. And do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And I deeply appreciate all of you standing shoulder to shoulder with me, prayerfully and financially, in the battle for life and truth.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Bertrand Russell famously said, most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And let's go right to our callers. First up is Joe, listening in Denver, Colorado on KRKS. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Frank, Hank, and thank you for your ministry. A while back, you explained the passage referring to Jesus in Josephus. And what I got from that is that it's been partly interpolated, but I didn't quite catch it all. Can you kind of sum up? Is it only partly interpolated, or?
Yeah. So here's basically what I've said about that. One is that Josephus was born in AD 37. So the reason I bring that up is he was an eyewitness to many of the details and descriptions that are found in the New Testament. And there are a couple of passages that are very, very famous. One is Antiquities 20. I think the verse designation is around 200, but I can't remember. But this is where he refers to James as the brother of Jesus, who was called the Christos, as well as where he describes the manner of his death by stoning. And Dr. Paul Meyer, who I co-authored a book with, The Da Vinci Code, Factor of Fiction, he is a professor of ancient history. He has pointed out through his own studies that Antiquities 20, or this particular passage on James, the brother of Jesus, shows no tampering whatever, and it's present in all of Josephus's manuscripts. But the most noteworthy, the reference that everybody asks about is Antiquities 18. And they're wondering, when they ask that question, whether that can really be trusted, because it's been called into question by a lot of people, and certainly by a lot of scholarship. And I think the answer to the question is that the translation of this passage by Eusebius, of course, an early church historian, may have contained, as you noted in the prologue to your question, Christian interpolations. But a majority of scholars today view the translation as historically reliable and authentic. And this is particularly in view of newly discovered texts, which bear no indication whatsoever of tampering. So, Josephus mentioned Jesus in authentic core materials, and since the passage is present in all Greek manuscripts of Josephus, I think both Antiquities 20 as well as Antiquities 18 can be trusted.
Let me just follow up on what were those new texts that have been discovered? What would be a name of one of them, or?
They're typically texts. The Agapian version is often cited, but there have been all kinds of texts that have been found that, and this particular one, the Agapius text, bears no indication of tampering.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Hank.
You're welcome. I think I wrote about this in my book, Has God Spoken, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tim in St. Louis, Missouri. Tim is listening on the web. Hi, Tim.
How you doing, Hank?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. Just had a quick question. Do a new denomination, is there... Do you pray to the dead? Do you go prayers to the dead practice?
No. Obviously, no one's dead. I don't think of my mother as being dead or my father as being dead. Yes, they have died, but they continue to exist. So they are living in the presence of the Lord. They're absent the body, present with the Lord. And so I don't pray to the dead, but I do pray that the dead are praying for me. And one of the things we ought to recognize is that as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the vapor-thin barrier between this world and the world to come has been, as it were, obliterated. So we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and because of that, we can have communion and ask people to pray for us that are in the presence of God, just as I would ask you to pray for me, though you are still in this you know, particular continuum that we live in today. You don't yet have a resurrected body. You haven't died as yet. And so I would ask you to pray for me. But I also pray that my mom and my dad and the great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before are interceding for me before the Father as well.
So would you consider that to be an essential?
What part of that?
Just everything that you've articulated, would you consider...
I think it's essential to believe that when you die, you continue to have awareness in the presence of the Lord as a believer. I think that's an essential. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so you don't have awareness. You don't have extension in space, but you do have awareness. So not awareness, because you don't have a body, so you don't have extension in space when you die. But you do have awareness. And the thing that we ought to remember as well is that my mother and father, who are both absent the body, present with the Lord, are waiting for the same thing that all of us will eventually experience, which is the soul will return to the body, and the body will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And this is the great and glorious truth of resurrection, which is an essential of essentials. Without that, we have no hope. And that's why Paul says that we do not grieve like the rest of those who have no hope, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And then he says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that those who have fallen asleep will certainly not proceed. Or those who are still alive will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive will be gathered with them to meet the Lord, and so we'll be with the Lord forever. So that passage is a great and glorious passage on resurrection, and it codifies an essential of the Christian faith.
All right, brother. I do appreciate you, and God bless you and CRI, and thank you for all you've done.
Well, appreciate your call, and let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Aaron in Seattle, Washington, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. So the popular church Mosaic, headed by Erwin McManus, is looking to, expand into Seattle. And I've gotten a bit involved in their pursuit to grow, but I have some hesitations. They seem to talk more about, quote, the movement and their community, and they seem less focused on Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection as the center of the Christian faith. And I was just wondering if I could get your general thoughts on Mosaic and Erwin McManus.
Yeah, you know, probably what I'd have to do is defer that to the research department, because off the top of my head, I have not done any personal research on this, and so I just don't know exactly what they stand for. But next time I'm asked that question, I will, because I will definitely look at what we have through our research department. If you want to hang on, I can put you in touch with our researchers and send you out a statement, whatever we have available. But I will look into it and, if possible, communicate about it on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Sure, that'd be great. Well, thank you very much for following up.
You got it, Aaron. Thank you so much for your call, and we are almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live. And this is only a possibility because there are people that stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Unlike a lot of what you hear in the media, we are not supported by well, advertising dollars and the like. We are supported by listeners just like you. The broadcast requires resources, and that's why we ask you to give. That's why we ask you to stand with us. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can give via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. And something that I ought to mention, which is that if you join CRI's monthly support team, and you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, I'd be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. If you don't have the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, ask for that. Again, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Please join CRI's monthly support team and make a difference in the lives of people all around the globe. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.